I invite you to turn your Bibles to Romans 8 this morning, Romans chapter 8. This chapter is perhaps one of the most well-known and loved chapters in the whole Bible. Most preachers or Christians love to point out that the chapter begins with no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? Nothing. No condemnation. It then moves to and ends with no separation. Nothing will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And for those two good reasons, right, the way it begins and the way it ends, it's worthy of study. However, most people often overlook the middle section. And this middle section shows how future glory should motivate believers to endure sufferings in this present age. It's my opinion that verses 18 through 30 are one large section right in the heart of this chapter. You can see that because at the beginning of the section, in verse 18, Paul uses a word for glory, and then at the end of the section, in verse 30, he says, "You are glorified." Okay, so the whole section holds together with the main idea or concept that Paul wants to talk about, and that is future glory. In this middle section, Paul has one main point or purpose that he states in verse 18 and then defends throughout the rest of the passage, verses 19 through 30. So he states it clearly and then defends it. Now, for our sakes this morning, we're only going to look at verse 18. I thought, you know what? You had a Thanksgiving break. Some of you probably still have turkey brain, or, you know, still some of those chemicals in you might put you to sleep. So we're just going to look at one verse, okay? Verse 18. And that's because this is a significant verse where Paul states his premise or his main idea and point. That will be the subject of our whole sermon this morning. Now, before we get there, we need to also ask why. Okay, so there's a New Testament theologian I really appreciate in many ways. His name is Gordon Fee. He says, when you're in a biblical text, you should ask what. What does this mean? And you ask why. That's those two questions, right? What and why. And when we ask why, we ask, what point does Paul the Apostle have in mentioning verse 18? Why did he put it here? And to me, after some study, it appears that Paul desires to motivate believers to live for future glories now. That's the whole point and purpose. Paul desires to call us to live for future glories now. That's why he gives us all this information. Paul wants us to love and live for future glory and our ultimate possession of Jesus Christ in heaven. And he wants us to love and live for it now. He wants us to love these things more than we do our homes. He wants us to love these things more than we do our TVs or binge watching our favorite show or series. Paul wants us to love these things more than, conquering a new level on our favorite video game. He wants us to love future glories more than we do our friends or family. He wants us to love this and think about it more than we would our career. He wants us to love this more than our hobbies, whatever those might be, whether it's a man cave watching Sunday football, or woodworking, or gardening, or baking, whatever it is, God wants you to love future glories more than those things. He wants us to love these things more than our sin, those things we lust after. He wants us to love and live for future glories more than anything else in this world. Before we look at this verse, let me just say, in the next few years, personally, as I consider this and think about my life. I'll be transparent with you. I'm heading into my 50s. Okay, now I still have over 2 years left. My kids like to say I'm an old man. They don't say it to my face, but they like to think it. I can see it in their face. But I'm going to hold on to the 40s as long as I got them. Right? Over 2 years. It's going to be a long time. But now that I'm in my 50s, I have to admit I've begun thinking a little bit about retirement. I emphasize a little bit. Now, financial advisors emphasize the value of living in the present for your future. And they would love to address a room full of young people like you. Their perspective would be something like this. The earlier you put something away, the longer you save, the better it will be for you. You say, save what? I have no money. I remember what it was like to be in Bible college. Now, I've seen people do all sorts of creative and sacrificial things so that they get more later. I've seen people figure and calculate and scheme and plan and figure and calculate and scheme and plan their savings. I've seen people keep ledgers, whole ledgers, with column after column of figures about their retirement. I know people who keep track of these things on elaborate and detailed spreadsheets showing just how much they can have in the future when they retire if they go without things like coffee or eating out and stuff like that. Of course, these people have no fun in life, but anyway. The problem about those things and about retirement, however, is that it involves the fleeting value of money, the fleeting value of the dollar, over the final few years of your elderly life. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for planning and preparing, but I want to emphasize something with you today that is far greater than that. As a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is my obligation to tell you this, and it is my prayer that God will compel you to live for something future, but something greater. You see, in this text, Paul wants to flip things around for us so that our calculations are different. And our calculations then would have very little to do with retirement, but much more, so much more to do with future glory. He wants you to live for future glories now. So let's look at the verse, verse 18. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's his main premise. And from that, we will learn how to live our lives. Paul's main point in verse 18 has two realities, present sufferings and future glories. And I want to look at both of those things for a second. What are the sufferings of this present age? What are the future glories? And then we'll see how he relates them to each other. And then we'll be done. Sufferings, first, the sufferings of this present time include things like famine and sickness and disease and earthquakes and floods and fires and death. Sufferings include the persecution also, I think, that believers face for their faith in Jesus Christ. But they also include the negative effects of sin on this world and on our bodies, that produce things like, and these are some of the things you might experience in your life, things like sickness and cancers or arthritis and pain or death, watching loved ones suffer, relational strains. I think all of these are the sufferings of this present time. Now, I'm not sure what real life difficulties you are experiencing right now. I would love to get to know you some more. Come on down to Virginia Beach and spend some time with us. After you graduate, of course. I don't know what real life experiences you're suffering under. I don't know what real pain or rejection you are working through. But it is included in this first category. Sufferings of this present time. Then we move on to the other object, glory. John Stott says, glory is the unutterable splendor of God, eternal, immortal, incorruptible. Good definition of glory, the unutterable splendor of God. But Paul has something to say about glory here. He says the glory that we should consider, the specific glory he wants us to contemplate today, is the glory that is going to be revealed to us. Now, there are different ways of translating that phrase, and I really like the way the King James has translated this. These are the glories which will be revealed in us. That's how I take that little preposition, in. One scholar said it this way. He says, the term translated in implies motion toward an object from the outside and then takes the motion into the object or the person. The revelation of God's glory then is not something we're all going to see one day if we know Jesus Christ. It's not something we'll see in heaven. It is something that we will experience in our glorified beings. Consequently, I think Paul is talking about the glory of God that believers experience, that future glory that transforms us in heaven. This involves the healing of our physical bodies from all the symptoms of disease and death and sin. All of the ailments and diseases we've talked about that are part of the present suffering. But it also includes, and consider this, it includes the complete and utter eradication of our sin natures. That's part of future glory that's going to be revealed in us. The complete and utter eradication of our sin natures so that we are holy and without any trace of sin in heaven. That's the future glory. That's what awaits you if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, some of us have experienced the suffering of seeing someone we love, a beloved parent or grandparent or friend or brother or sister, suffer under physical affliction on their deathbed. We've seen them struggle. In some cases, perhaps, we've seen their limbs shrivel and shrink and fail. We've seen their mental capacities slip away so that they could not function as well. But in light of this verse, I want to assure you, brothers and sisters, if your spouse, if your parent or grandparent, if your brother, sister, or friend knew Jesus as their Savior, those pains and struggles on their deathbed were birth pains. They were birth pains. Yes, he or she went through the valley of the shadow of death, but they awoke in the presence of Jesus, and they will one day emerge from the grave, powerful and healthy and pure. One day you will see them again, and I believe you will be astounded by their strength, beauty, and holiness. But there's one more thing I want to say. There's two objects, right? The sufferings of this present age, the future glory that will be revealed in us, but what does Paul do with these two things? And that's where we see he says that these two things are not even worthy to be compared. The present suffering is not even worthy to be compared with the future glory. Now, I love how Doug Moo imagines this in his Romans commentary. He gives the image of a scale or a balance. On one side are present sufferings. On the other side, future glories. This is what he says. He says, we must, Paul suggests, weigh sufferings in the balance with the glory that is the final state of every believer. And he says, and so weighty, so transcendently wonderful is the glory that the sufferings fly in the air as if they have no weight at all. You see, the analogy that he uses, it's like you've got a 1 pound paperweight over here on a scale. And then on this side, you drop a skyscraper. And that little paperweight, pew, flies off. Weighs nothing at all. Listen, I don't know what present sufferings you're enduring. Everyone else might be joyful and thankful to be back here over break, but perhaps you're going through something really challenging at home. And maybe being back over Thanksgiving reminded you of those things. I don't know what sort of temptations you're suffering regarding sin, and perhaps you feel really defeated and discouraged in light of you're constantly fighting this, and you think you'll always be fighting this, and it seems so overwhelming. Maybe you're enduring some sort of physical trial as well, and it feels so big, so large. Listen to the Apostle Paul and take it by faith in what he says. Those things are like a 1 pound paperweight. That one day soon, the skyscraper is going to drop. And you will experience future glory in your body. You see, what is going to sustain us and push us forward for Christ is a grand view of future glory. A grand view, a high view of future glory will enable us to thrive for Jesus in this life. A lofty view of these things, brothers and sisters, that I've been preaching about, that I've been proclaiming to you, a lofty view of these things will cause you to do risky and bold things for Jesus with your life. You see, this is how believers who've impacted the world for Jesus have lived in every generation since the cross. This is what leads some people to give up everything and to go to China or to India, or as two members of our congregation recently, or to go to Afghanistan or to Pakistan with the gospel of Jesus Christ. My most important question for you this morning is, will you live this way? Will you live as if your present sufferings and trials aren't even worthy to compare to future glory? Will you live for future glories now? Will your calculations and plannings and plottings in your own journal or on your own spreadsheet be about eternal glories? And can I say, the earlier you start living this way, the longer you live this way, the better it will be for you and for the world around you. And this high view of glory will help you through any difficulty in life. Imagine a funeral of someone you love. What could possibly sustain you to walk away from the graveside of a parent or a grandparent or a brother or sister? What could possibly sustain you in those moments? I've been by many a graveside, and I've seen believers sustained as they take their focus off of the present and the now, and they think of future glory. It's been such a joy to preach to you this morning, and I'm thankful that most of you stayed awake. Thank you for that. It's been a joy to lift up this essential truth, one verse, Romans 8:18. This verse is worthy of reflection. It's worthy of memorization. It is worthy of all your contemplation today. As you finish this semester, won't you prayerfully contemplate it? Won't you live for future glories now?